Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the first edition of the Sports Journal Hockey Hour, presented by H4TV. We will be here weekly. This is the inaugural show, with opinions and analysis regarding all things NHL as we head down the stretch of the regular season. I am your host, Brian Sousa, and the puck drops here, and all my corny lines are gone. But today, I'm excited because this is the first show. I'm going to be joined by two knowledgeable colleagues of mine. We've got our intern live at Madison Square Garden, our H4TV intern, Vinny Crescenzo, joining us, and also Xander Manning, who is a big Boston guy. He's in one of the only places colder than New York, which is Amherst. So how are you doing today, Xander?
Don't even get me started on that cold weather. It's fucking miserable out here. Oh, my God.
I was worried about Vinny. Hey, Vinny, are you with us, man? I was worried about you being outside.
It's a little cold out here, but it's not too bad. I'm actually right inside Penn Station, so I'm a little warm now, so it's all good.
How's the temperature for you out there? Good luck with the cell service in Penn Station there, Vinny. I hope you stay with us.
It should be all right.
If I start
fading in and out, then you can tell me to get back outside or something. I can deal with it.
No problem. I know that Vinny will be joining us the first half of today's show. He's live at the Canucks Ranger game tonight. A nice little matchup of two playoff hopefuls. So, look, this is our first show, confession time. We're not all in the same room, so I will do my best to facilitate our discussion between panelists as we go topic to topic, and we attempt not to step on each other, which I always do by mistake. Being that this is our first show, there's no blueprint, there's no template. The way you build off nothing is with something. So, that's what we're going to give you. We don't know what's going to happen down the stretch, but we're going to hit each division. We're going to hit specific teams, and I'm just going to get to it. I'm going to start with the leading President's Trophy candidate, Smashville, the Predators in the Central Division. They obviously made a huge trade this week. They got some depth in forward and defense, Mike Santorelli, Cody Franzen. And it's not just because they have the best goalie in the league and the most points in the league. It feels like they could be front runners for the cup. They play in a tough division. What does this trade, Xander, tell you about Nashville and where they're at?
It's telling me a lot about what they're trying to do out there. I mean, last year you look at them last year, they were in 10th place. That was obviously a huge disappointment. Pecorino was a runner up for the Vezina last year. I mean, he got beat out by Tuukka Rask. I mean, obviously he was going to get beat out. Tuukka made the playoffs. Tuukka was the trophy winner. But this shows that they're really invested in the playoffs, I think. They're really invested. They want to make the playoffs. They want to make it as far as they can. And in past years, they've had some good defense. They've had some good offense. But they've only made it to, like, the second round. But I think they're really invested in the long run this time, and that's what that's telling me.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that they're in a position to go farther than they did before. Vinny, what do you think about Nashville, where they're at right now?
I think the trade says a lot for where they're at right now. I mean, they got superhuman goaltending now from Pekka Rinne. I mean, he's definitely best in the candidate this year again. I think they knew what they were going to get with Philip Forsberg. I didn't think they knew how good he was going to be this year. So I think they're just feeling like they could do something really big. And, I mean, trading a first-rounder and a pretty good prospect in Brandon Lifschitz, it says a lot to where their mentality is at. And I think they really believe that they could win the Cup this year.
Well, I mean, also,
go ahead, Xander. I want you to.
They're talking about the superhuman goaltending there, but also, let's look at what they did without Pekka Rinne too. They went for a 13-game stretch without Pekka Rinne when he was hurt. Carter Hutton came out of nowhere and started like he was playing the whole year.
That's very true. That's a good point.
Another point to make here is you're overlooking the play of guys like Mike Fisher and Mike Ribeiro too. Mike Ribeiro's playing like he did in Dallas. Mike Fisher is on fire this year.
That first line, that Ribeiro Forsberg Neal line, has been an absolute godsend. And I hear people complain about Mike Ribeiro taking faceoffs. Well, I mean, They spend 68% of the time in the offensive zone, so I'm not worried about it. What this tells me, really, is that, you know, Poirier and the Predators are an aggressive bunch. He wasn't afraid to fire Barry Trotz and bring in Peter Laviolette. He says, we're going for it this year. You know, both guys that they just acquired, Santorelli and Franzen, are UFA at the end of the year. Ribeiro, Cullen, and Fisher are also unrestricted free agents at the end of the year, and they're saying, we'll worry about who we're going to sign later. We're going for the cup right now. They add depth on both sides, and it's very hard to see, you know, a team beating them when they're 25-3-1 at Bridgestone Arena, but, you know, that's what the NHL playoffs are all about. For a quick second, I actually want to make sure we get to the Metropolitan Division because we do have Vinny over there in Madison Square Garden tonight. But speaking of the Predators, their opponent tonight is the Islanders, who are leading the Metropolitan Division, whether we're all still surprised about it or not. But you have to wonder who has a leg up in the Metropolitan Division. We got four teams separated by 5 points, Pittsburgh, the Rangers, Washington, the Islanders. So who do you guys give the leg up to? Vinny, we'll start with you this time.
It's hard to say. I mean, like you said, they're all separated by 5 points. I feel like anybody could take this division this season. Well, it's be interesting to see what the Rangers are able to do without Henrik Lundqvist for a while. They've been able to hold their own. Cam Talbot's been playing great for them.
If they can keep winning games
with Cam Talbot and then get Henrik Lundqvist back, I think the Rangers are poised to take this division with the Islanders kind of slipping a little bit right now.
And Xander, obviously, we look at you look at Washington, they're right on their heels. Pittsburgh's always there, but against the other three teams in the race, they're 2-7-2. So, I'll go with what Vinny said about Lundqvist is eventually going to come back. What do we look for down the stretch in the Metro?
Frankly, I'm just going to say right now, who I'm not looking for, that's where I'm going to start. I'm not looking for Pittsburgh. because look at, they've had one of the most inconsistent goalie situations in the whole season. One day they're going with Marc-Andre Fleury, and the next day they're going with someone else. One day Fleury lets in three goals, and the next day he lets in one.
It's hard for me to believe that Marc-Andre Fleury actually led them on a cup run. It feels like it was about three decades ago, but it wasn't. You know, it's really uninspiring to me that Pittsburgh is under 500 against their own division. And you could say what you want about the Islanders and the fact that Jaro Halak's unproven with this type of workload, but that team's 19-3 against the other Metropolitan teams. And, you know, especially if you don't win the conference, you're obviously playing another team in your division in the first round. And Pittsburgh doesn't inspire me. But if the Rangers are able to get Lundqvist back, as Vinny said, you know, they're going to be dangerous down the stretch. And we know that they have the gut to win in the playoffs, especially if Rick Nash is scoring goals.
They've got more weapons than just Rick Nash, too. They're really flexible. I mean, if you look at the Islanders have who? John Tavares, Carlo Poso, and that's pretty much it. Maybe Johnny Blaudock every once in a while.
I don't know about that.
They've got a lot of people contributing on the island with Franz Nielsen
and Anders Lee and Ryan Strome.
But still, it's not as consistent as Rick Nash, Chris Kreider, and Martin St. Louis, though. You got to look at that.
You know what? I'm going to say that, guys. I agree with what Xander's saying about the top line of the Rangers, maybe, especially with a Pozo out being the better than the Islanders' top line. But you know what? Kind of like the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, the Islanders have four lines that all contribute. They have the most depth scoring in the entire NHL. And one of the things that you look at in the playoffs, I'm not sure if I buy into them, I'll believe it when I see it, but one of the things you look for is balance. You look for scoring from three lines, from four lines, and the Islanders are one of those teams that can at the very least do that, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think so. It'll be interesting to see what the Rangers try to do. I think the Rangers will try to add some depth to forward before the trade day deadline ends, or I don't know. I can't see them adding anyone on the blue line, really, but possibly as like another top nine forward to kind of get them a little more depth. Because right now,
all right, go to the Bruins. The Bruins have that, and they have the goalie.
So it doesn't matter to me if the Bruins end up finishing in the eighth spot because in that last wild card, because whoever they play in the first round is going to have to deal with Tuukka Rask, the best two-way forward in hockey in Patrice Bergeron, and this is and that what proves to you that this Eastern and the West too, but one through eight, however this shakes out, there's not going to be an easy series for anybody, and the Metro might come down to literally the last week of the season. And being that the Islanders, even though it's a complete farce and it's complete nonsense, the shootout in general, your goal is to get those extra points when they're offered to you. They find a way to do it. And I have a feeling that even if they just stay the course, they'll have a chance to win it at the end. But seeing the Rangers or Washington, and I begrudgingly say Pittsburgh if Fleury picks it up, I wouldn't be surprised to see any one of them come out on top. But we've got another division to get to. There's only four instead of there being a million like there used to be. But I'm gonna jump over to the Pacific Runaways, or at least we thought they were. The Anaheim Ducks are 1-5-1, or 1-4-1. I apologize. In their last six games, they got the snot beat out of them by Tampa Bay at home last night for the second time in a week, and they might still be 9 points clear of everybody else. But they, especially in goal, don't really inspire me either. Xander, what do you think of Anaheim out west?
I think they're having an underrated season, to be completely honest. I mean, okay. I'm not going to go as far as saying their goaltending is amazing, because it's definitely not. But I just want to look at three players here. You got Corey Perry, Ryan Getz. No, Ryan Getz left. He doesn't play for him anymore. Oh, he does.
Yeah.
And Sammy Vatanen. Nobody talks about Sammy Vatanen, but you want to look at what he does on the power play for them. Special teams is an integral part of hockey, and he scores goals on the power play like it's almost nothing. He's a playmaker, too. And those three guys, they carry this team. They may be only 9 points ahead of everyone. They may be slipping a little bit, but these three, I feel like Sammy Vatanen is going to heat up towards the end of the season. We all know that Ryan Getzlaf and Corey Perry have the potential to do that, too. I think this is just a slip. That's all it is. And I think they've got the recipe to make the playoffs.
They certainly lead the league in goaltenders hit with the crossbar. But I want to know what Vinny, your view is on, you know, whether it's Frederick Anderson, whether it's Gibson, or because the NHL playoffs are all about the goaltender. You need the goaltender to win.
You absolutely do. And right now that's exactly what they don't have. You know, Frederick Anderson is out hurt right now, so they're stuck with Brizgalov and Gibson. Gibson's done well for them, but I don't think he's ready to step up in that number one role. And Brizgalov is, so, I mean, you can't trust him with anything. But a big reason of their fall thing, I mean, they just got Matt Valeski out. He's out 2-3. Sammy Vatanen, we were just talking about, he's out 3 to 6 weeks now. So, and they also have Hampus Lindholm out on the back end as well. So they're really hurting on the back end. I think that's a big reason why they're on this little split that they're in. Once they start getting healthy and maybe add another veteran defense, like an Andre Sekera from Carolina red line, I think that'll be really really helpful for them. I think they'll get back on track.
A lot of things are gonna change as rosters are gonna shift in the next 2 weeks, as the deadline approaches. I know, Xander and I were talking about the Bruins yesterday and how they, you know, like, need to make a move. They need to get rid of somebody and bring a return back. And, you know, within the next 2 weeks, rosters are going to change. You know, Vinny, I know you're at the game, and there's probably nothing better than that, but I'm sorry that you're only here for half a show. You can come on anytime, man. We'll talk hockey. We'll even talk Devils if you want.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. I'll definitely be back again.
All right. Have fun.
All right. Have a good one tonight.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
And now I'm just going to jump to our quick commercial break here. Me and Xander will come back with the Atlantic Division and maybe some more stuff. I'll figure it out. Now I'm here. Now I'm there.
Just a new man. Cause you made me again. Wow. Save me out.
And that is some Queen.
That was some solid music.
How would you think of that, Xander? What'd you think of that?
That was fucking amazing.
That was epic, wasn't it? Instead of the next show, we're just gonna play all Freddie Mercury tracks for maybe the entire day.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
We're gonna play Freddie Mercury tracks and just play NHL on mute. That sounds like my night. That sounds like my night, actually. Now, I'll be the first one to admit I live in New York, but I'm a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, and so I'm excited.
Tampa Bay Lightning. Are you bandwagoning this year?
No, man.
Yeah, you're bandwagoning.
You're killing me. In 2003-04, when they played the Islanders in the first round of the playoffs, I went with my father and my brother, who were big Islander fans, and I showed up in all my Tampa Bay stuff, and I was a 12-year-old kid. I had been a Tampa Bay fan since maybe I was 5 or 6, and I got killed. I got killed by 30-year-old men. But no, nobody can test my allegiance. I was at college in Albany streaming all the games in my little 10-inch computer, and it was actually that season where the Bruins beat us in the Eastern Conference Finals in Game 7. It was 1-0, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Xander.
Oh, you appreciate that.
That's a great year.
You were talking down to me before the show, huh?
Oh, no.
yeah.
No, but I do like the Lightning. They're having a good season. I have so many concerns, and it's not just about them. It's the other teams in the Atlantic, and so this is kind of the last division where we're at. Obviously, this might as well be the Carey Price show. The whole season might as well be the Carey Price show in Montreal, because they find ways to win games, but there's no doubt about it. They're going as far as Carey Price takes them. So, you know, whether or not you hate the Canadiens as a fellow Original Six fan, what do you think about the top of the Atlantic?
It's a Carey Price show with a cameo appearance of Steven Stamkos, is what I have to say.
Yeah, that is kind of what it is. I mean, it's funny to me.
And then the occasional guest appearance of Ben Bishop, of course.
Yeah, well, and that was one thing where the Lightning gets swept by Montreal last year, but they don't have Ben Bishop for the first three games, and you know, Anders Lindback just couldn't handle the load, obviously, but. You know, we talk about Tampa. Tampa has 4 games in hand on Detroit and 3 games in hand. I'm sorry, opposite. Detroit has 4 games in hand on them. Montreal has 3. So I can kind of see Tampa getting caught unless those teams hit a skid. But, you know, with the Lightning, I worry about Matt Carl being out and Ryko Gudas, because on the blue line, they're unproven. And they might score the most goals in the league. They might have the most team speed in the league. And they might have Steven Stamkos. But until Bishop proves it, and until they have some help on the blue line, I'm always going to be a little bit skeptical.
Yeah, Stamkos can't carry the team either. Stamkos is just
the captain,
and he scores goals. But I completely agree with you. I think Montreal is going to take this division, no question in my mind. I mean, the team's basically unstoppable this year. Look at what they did to the Bruins. The Bruins couldn't even put up a fight against them.
I couldn't believe – I don't believe how many times it feels like they're down by a goal with less than 10 minutes left, late in the third period. They're tying the game. They're winning in overtime. Desharnais flipping pucks up into the top of the net. Pacioretty scoring goals. And but I still go back to the same thing. All they do is win games, and we won't take anything away from them. But this team is going as far as Carey Price takes them. He lets up under 2 goals a game. He leads the league in save percentage. It's ridiculous. It makes me wonder, if he doesn't get hurt last year against the Rangers, whether or not, you know, Montreal is, you know, going to be the ones who are lifting the cup, or at least in that playing the Kings.
No,
I
still think the Rangers take that series, to be completely honest.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
I still give it to the Rangers. Montreal has a history of choking in the playoffs anyway.
You know what? If we watch, anybody who watches hockey, you'll have to can't say that's not true. It is.
It's true. I mean, they've won the most Stanley Cups. They're basically the Yankees of the NHL. I mean, I say it about the Yankees. Yes. I'll say it about Montreal choke, the official drink of the Montreal Canadiens.
If that wasn't the Bostonian in you, I don't know. I don't know what is. That's great.
I don't know either, buddy.
I got no problem with that, because I'm not a Yankee fan or anything, so I got no problem. I'm a Met fan, so I know what Kirk feels like.
But you also done stuff for the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, not in my lifetime, and two,
true.
You know, it doesn't make me feel it doesn't make me feel too much better. It really doesn't. It makes me feel bad for Bill Buckner. You know, I know where this is a hockey show, but let's not forget that Bill Buckner was a batting champ, and he was a great baseball player, but everyone just remembers for the ball trickling through his legs. But
yeah.
I want to, you know, one thing, I'm sticking to the Atlantic just for another minute here. Now, like I said before, you know, Tampa's got four lines. Tampa's got, it helped them a lot to get somebody like Brian Boyle to bounce at their fourth line. Tyler Johnson's really emerged. They have a deep, you know, scoring team, but, you know, you were talking about a cameo appearance from Ben Bishop, but come playoff time, it's going to have to be a lot more than that, especially if they're going to play someone like Montreal, somebody else that has a dominant goaltender, somebody else that can score with them. You know, you're not going to score goals every single game. Your goalie's going to have to steal a couple of them for you. And,
yeah,
and
they don't,
just,
they don't have Vinny LeCavalier anymore. That's hurting them. I can tell. That's really hurting.
Vinny LeCavalier is my hero. I got the jersey on my wall. I'm looking at it. My hero, and now he's in Philly.
I'm telling you, if they had Vinny and they still had Martin St. Louis, then I see them in first place by at least, I don't know, 8 points right now. That's what's hurting them right now, and that whole trade with the Rangers just completely hurt them. Ryan Callahan, what has he even done in Tampa, honestly?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Look, now, we're trading for scoring. I mean, obviously the scoring part of it is, you know, the amount of goals St. Louis scores is obviously astronomical compared to Callahan, you know. But it was obviously about getting St. Louis out because he wanted out, and he didn't like Yzerman, and they didn't get along with the whole Olympics fiasco that we don't need to rehash. The thing about Ryan Callahan is just, we know what he is. He's a grinder. He's a two-way player. He kills penalties. Was he worth trading Martin St. Louis for and giving him all this money? You know, I'm not gonna say that. But scoring goals isn't the biggest of the lightning problem. They still lead the league in goals. I have more of an issue with Ben Bishop's health than not having Matt Carl on the blue line and other teams being able to score with them. So that's why I put the onus more on Ben Bishop than anything else. But, you know, we've got 25 more games to see where he's able to lead them to. And if he can't, there's a 20-year-old Vasilevskiy waiting behind him that guy might could end up being the goalie of the future for Tampa. But
we're also playing on the defense, like Matt Carl on the blue line, but also look at Victor Hedman, how much he's gone downhill.
I know, and he was drafted right after John Tavares. He's the number 2 overall pick that same year, and he's got to be, you know, he was supposed to be like Tampa Bay's Ray Bourque. And, you know, he's supposed to be the defenseman that's going to be on that team for 15 years, number 77. Yep, number 4, Bobby Orr. And I watched the game last night, and I saw 3 plays on the same shift, and Hedman ends up giving up a goal. So, you know, it is disappointing that he's gone downhill. I guess you can only hope that you get hot at the right time, not just guys, but as a team, because you see a team like the LA Kings come out of the 8th spot and go win the cup. There's a lot of parity in hockey, and if you get hot at the right time, anything is possible. But there is something that I want to get your opinion on. You know, this new playoff format that we got here, it's a second year of a 3-year trial. Obviously, the first place winners play the wild card teams. Second and third place in each division play each other. It sort of promotes these rivalries inside the division, changes around the dynamic, changes the matchups if you were just going 1 through 8. Do you have any particular thought on this and how you've seen things change the last couple of years because of it?
I think it's a little bit unfair to the wild card teams, to be completely honest. I mean, completely ignoring the divisions part, that's great. You play a division team, you're used to playing them, you can learn from all that, create for a better series. But if you have the number 1 seed playing the number 8 seed that somehow won the wild card game, that's completely unfair. You've got a team that barely squeaked into the playoffs that is going up against the best team in either the conference or in the best team in the league in the case of the Western Conference. Right now, that would make the Kings play the Predators. Completely unfair.
Well, that's true. But wouldn't whoever finishes in the 8 seed have to play the Predators anyway if you ran it 1 through 8?
Yeah.
It's, you know, so, I mean, it's different because you're not just doing it. There's 2 divisions instead of, what was it, 3 or 4, whatever it was, 3. There's only two divisions, so, I mean, I guess the only difference is outside the top 3 in each division, those last 2 wildcard spots could technically be filled by teams in the same division. Now, in the East, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And it looks like it's going to end up being some kind of 4-4. But it's just interesting. And I only bring it up because, you know, the NHL says they want to promote these in-division rivalries. It's sort of starting to create this little thing with, you know, warm weather teams like Tampa now could end up playing, you know, Montreal in the playoffs 2 years in a row. And it's sort of an unconventional rivalry. Hell, Montreal can end up playing Boston in the 1-1-8. And, you know, that's not exactly fair either. I know what you're saying, but I think they're searching for things. I think that it's a little weird that you put such an emphasis on where you finish in your division, yet you're taking one division game away. You play each team five instead of six times.
I think you should be playing them more, though, if you're trying to play them in the playoffs, because other than that, it's just, here you go.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the one thing that I don't get about it. I do like that you play every team in the NHL at least once, but it required you taking away a divisional game when there were only four teams in your division, because now there are, you know, seven, and you only play them five times each. It's an imperfect system, and I guess it'll always be a little bit of an imperfect system, but I wonder whether or not they should,
if they're going to get rid of games, division games, get rid of two, so that way you can play the Western Conference teams twice.
Well, if you're going to keep – you know what? I wouldn't disagree with you at all if you were going to go back to how you did it before. If you're going to put this huge, you know, weight on how you do in your division, then I thought that what you said before might have worked better, where then, you know what, then play them six times, and you don't play a Western Conference – and there are some Western Conference teams that maybe you don't get to play. I don't love it, but it's, you know, it's really going to be for them to decide.
If you're going to play your division people in the playoffs, you obviously want to play them more. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to take them away and you're not going to play them, then take away two games. But
yeah, and then there are some teams in the West or other teams in your conference in the other division that you'd play one more time.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what do we got here? Now, here's my empty nether. The last minute here. I was watching this game the other day, the Pittsburgh and Washington on Sunday afternoon. Sidney Crosby gets a penalty called on him. It's kind of a shaky penalty. Probably not really a penalty. Now, it will look like football because they conference together, they pick up the flag, and Crosby doesn't get a penalty. It's not the first time it's happened this year. It's really just the most recent example. And it made me wonder about the instant replay that's currently only done on goals. And the most important thing for officials should be getting the call right. So the only problem I have is the selective nature of the conference. If you guys can't pick and choose when you're going to get together, I think that even if it takes an extra 30 seconds or so, have someone sitting in the penalty box with a monitor, you go back and look at it, and maybe you expand the replay on every penalty call rather than just picking and choosing because Sidney Crosby cried to you about it.
I completely agree. I think you need to expand it. I mean, that's what they do in college hockey. In college hockey, they get together, they look at the penalty, and then they realize, oh, no, that's not a penalty.
Yeah, so I know it's weird because
they need to bring this into the NHL because there's so many penalties that are called. If I had a dollar for every time I've screamed at the TV yelling bullshit, then
I'd be pretty rich right now.
Or
guys are diving. Guys are diving.
Cough, cough, PK Subban.
We're taking shots at PK Subban.
If you get me started on PK Subban, we will run overtime by about 20 minutes.
Oh, no, we only have 40 seconds, so don't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we can get to this more soon. It's just, you know, it's because, you know, I see John Tavares the other day go to the ref and say, why aren't you conferencing then? Why don't you talk about it? And that's what Gary Bettman and the NHL is asking for if you're just going to be selective about where and when you want to do the penalties. Vander, my man, it goes fast, but so happy to have you on, man. Happy to have some very knowledgeable hockey people to talk about the game with. Come on anytime, and hopefully we do it again soon, you know?
Yep, I feel you.
All right, Dander, sounds good, man. And that is our hockey hour, our hockey half hour for this week, the inaugural show. Hope you enjoyed it. We are out. Hockey.